In Jonah chapter 1, that book was not written by Jonah, but by somebody else about Jonah. We know Jonah was a real person, a real prophet of God. And in Israel, prophets, they were raised up by God to go and speak to God's people. When they went wrong, God sent the prophet and said, hey guys, get your act together, otherwise there's going to be something coming into your life which you don't like, because I want my children to behave and to do what I told them to do, because you are representing me. So Jonah understood the calling, what a prophet is all about. Unlike most people today, when they take the title prophet, they don't have a clue what they're talking about it. Jonah understood exactly what that meant. As a matter of fact, I can tell you, you have your fingers in Jonah 1? You all got it there? Okay. So hold the fingers in there, because we go to another book first. And we're going to go to the last book of the New Testament. And then I show you why Jonah is being connected to all these things. Revelation chapter 1. We're going to read verses 4 to 8. And that kind of sets the stage. John to the seven churches that are in Asia. How many of you would have to say that represents us? Church. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of kings on the earth. I highlighted that because how many of you have to say, I was not always a faithful witness? I mean, there are good days and there are bad days. Jesus is the faithful witness, right? And he is the one, the ruler of kings on the earth. Listen, those who are ruling right now on the planets, we call them maybe presidents, maybe prime ministers, whatever you want to call them, they believe the lie that they are in charge. There is somebody ruling over all of them. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom and what? A priest. To his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. That's speaking towards the Romans who pierced him. Some people believe the Jews pierced him. Listen, the Jews did not pierce Jesus. A Roman soldier did. By the way, we are out of that culture. And all the tribes, read nations, of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. And then Jesus speaks, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And you probably ask yourselves, okay, so what in the world does that have to do with Jonah? And my answer would be everything. Everything. You see, Jonah was a prophet of God, and as such, God called him to be a man with a purpose. When God calls us, he has always a purpose attached to the calling. So we're going to look a little bit this morning at how the Alpha and the Omega, that's Jesus Christ, the beginning and the end, is not just a nice Greek saying, but is actually influencing the way we think and the way we act as what God has called us to be. Does that make sense? So if it doesn't, I will give you a little bit more insight. What does a prophet do? People say, well, a prophet goes and he foretells something that's going to happen in the future. That's most of the time not the calling of the prophet. Happens, yes. But a prophet is to bring a message that he has heard from God to his people to correct them because they're going down the wrong path. That's a prophet. And sometimes, like in Jonah's case, God decided that he's going to send Jonah this time not to his people, to his own people. And if you didn't figure it out last Sunday, I didn't mention it, it was between the lines and between what I said, Jonah was taken out of Israel, not to preach in Israel, because the Israelites, God's own people, were not willing to listen whatever the prophet said. So he was sent somewhere else. And Jonah didn't like it. But God told him, go, and you go to someone to tell them my message. And my message is a simple message. I give you 40 days to clean up your act. That's it. God said, Jonah, 40 days, just give him 40 days and tell him, clean up your act. After that, the axe falls and judgment will be there. So Jonah got the message, but forgot why God called him. Simply go to the people God called you to go and say it. So his vision, Jonah's vision, was the vision so many Christians today have. And I want to put that very clearly out there for you and me. Our idea of how God works is influenced and blurred and sometimes brings us blindness to the reality that our call is not to stand up for anything but for the God who called you. We have so many influences, be it economical, be it political, be it religiously, that blurs our vision to the call God has called us. And therefore, refusing to fulfill the purpose God has called us for. There is a destiny for each one of us. We know when we become born-again believers, we know that our final destiny is in the presence of the Lord. So we speak, and that's true. But how many of you know Jonah was not yet a dead person and he ran from the presence of the Lord? So if he as a human being could run from the presence of the Lord, what does that mean? It means that he runs from the calling God had on him. He said, I hurt you. I don't care what you say right now. I don't like what you say. So the way that I can ignore it is I'm going to do my own thing. Does that sound familiar? See, this book was written for you and me to stir our hearts. So Jonah's vision blurred the purpose for which God has called these men. And otherwise, you can sit here and say, well, that would never happen to me. Or we can look at our lives and say, oops, I think my middle name should be Jonah. Because I also do a lot of things the way I see it, despite the fact that God told me something else. When you sit here this morning and around the world, they're listening. There's one challenge for all of us. You are sitting here and breathing on this planet for the purpose which you have not yet fulfilled, for which God has called you. There is still work to be done. Our purpose is not to work through lives and get a little step ahead. Our purpose is to represent God. Listen, we're going to learn that next year, by the way, in detail, as we're going to go to the entire Gospel of Matthew. And after the Sermon on the Mount, the first public sermon Jesus preached, in chapter 6, he says, verse 33, I tell you how the purpose of God can be fulfilled. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all the other things which you're working so hard for and try to please me with, that will be added onto you. You don't have to do your own thing. I got a better plan for you. If Jonah would have only known that. Tony Evans wrote a book. He wrote a book called The Title is Destiny. And God reminded me to pull that book out this week and say, hey, read up a little bit on it, which I did. And here's a little quote from him. He writes, the Bible is not an anthology of random stories. We already learned that, haven't we? The thread that ties the entire Bible together is the theme of the kingdom. May stop there for a second. When you find kingdom anywhere, there is a king. And you are not it. Does that make sense? So God's goal is to see his rule and authority cover the earth through the expansion of his kingdom. That is God's purpose in history. There is no room, by the way, I stopped quoting it, there is no room for you and me to try to build our own little chiefdom. We're building God's kingdom, one person at a time. Does that make sense? One day at a time. So there's no private little plan and purpose and private destiny. This is God's business. Jonah's going to find out the hard way. Scripture was penned in order to facilitate that one agenda. See, God has an agenda. The unifying central theme of the Bible is the glory of God to the advancement of his kingdom. Every event, story, and personality from Genesis to Revelation is there to stitch that theme together. Without that theme, the Bible becomes a collection of disconnected stories that seem to be unrelated to one another. End of quote. That's exactly what happened for hundreds of years with Jonah. It was a totally unrelated, disconnected little story about a big fish. And nobody really wanted to get the lesson out of it, that actually in that story is a pretty good reflection of you and me. Advancing God's kingdom. Was Jonah interested in advancing God's kingdom? No, he wasn't. He wasn't. He was only interested to go with God as long as it was according to his plan. These people over there, those wicked people, no way, grace and mercy doesn't belong to them. Jonah made up his mind that they are not worthy. Well, let me share with you and challenge you. Have you ever met a person that maybe didn't fit your picture? Wasn't at the same level of your educational degrees? And you look down and say, God could never use that guy, or that woman, it's just not worth it. You made a judgment call before you even were willing to admit that you were called for the purpose to share with that person God's love and mercy. Which then shuts us out of doing God's will. This is why the whole world is in a turmoil, religiously speaking. In Europe, the churches are empty, the mosques are filled. You don't believe me? 2% of Europeans today say that they are Christians. 2%. Why? Because they acted like Jonah for hundreds of years. I'm reading a book right now that tells the story of what's going on. It was just published. The mosques in Paris alone are so overfilled that when they go to the mosque on a Friday, they stop the traffic because they throw the mats on the street and stop everything because at that time they pray 3 times a day. If Christians would do that, we would have riots in the street. How dare do you do that? But Christians are serving the God who created all things and is the ruler over all kings. And we are afraid to stand up for him. Jonah was afraid to stand up for God at that moment. Because he thought he's going to have his own way of dealing with those wicked people. What's going on in Jonah's mind? God, you tell me 40 days and they're done. I just waited out for 40 days. I go on vacation. Tarshish sounds extremely good. So the southern tip of Spain, Mediterranean, beautiful area. If I sit there for 50 days, I go back to God and he killed him. Good. Excellent. It's over. You say, well, that's not the case. You looked at the map last week, didn't you? You want to put that one more time up? He was willing to pay a big buck to go on a travel journey. Just not to do what God told him to do. Look at this. 2,500 miles. That's where he went. He could have made a 550-mile trip in the opposite direction and would have been much better for him. But no. Sometimes we forget how God works. Jonah is a part of God's purpose. You and I are a part of God's purpose. And Jonah is about to learn that God is not just the Alpha, he's also the Omega. Don't you dare disconnect these two. What that means is what God initiates, he will finish. What God starts, he will finish. Jonah believed with all his heart, if I run, God stops his crazy plan. And then I come back when he's all done. And we cruising on from there. To quote Tony Evans one more time about that book, Destiny. He says, when you live out your destiny, you don't measure what you have done according to what someone else has done. In other words, copying others. Nor is your destiny to be confused with a busy life. It's the big shame on the church today in America. When your life is filled with purpose, see that destiny and purpose? When your life is filled with purpose, you measure what you have done according to what you were created to do. Think about that for a second. This is a sentence that should be memorized. When your life is filled with purpose, how many of you have to say, there are a lot of days in my life I don't have a purpose. I just go to work. I just do the chores. I have really no purpose. But he said, when you are filled with his purpose, you measure what you have done according to what you were created to do. What are we created to do? To bring glory to God. That's it. And that has a million different faces. Don't you dare say, well, if I do it that way, you cannot glorify God if you don't do it my way. That's religious talk. You were created for a purpose. God places you there for a purpose where you are. And to fulfill that purpose, you know what? You know that you were created for that. And you stand there and you do what God tells you to do. And the blessings will follow. It's that simple. We always think we need to come up with new ideas how we do church. I tell you one thing. I've been long enough on this world to know. I've seen a few movements going. And I'm talking about church movement. Church movements come and go. God is the same forever and ever. He still saves people one soul at a time. It is still a personal decision if you want to follow Jesus. It is still you committing to him and be loyal to him and put your back towards the old slave master which you were serving for all the rest of your life before you came to Jesus. You put your back on that and you follow Jesus. The rest will fall into place. Sure, the old slave master is always calling. But you have the power to say no. In Jonah's case, we're going to start reading in verse 4. You're going to find out as he's now in the ship, okay? He's on his way to his Mediterranean vacation. He believes he's got it figured out. But the Lord, this is dangerous when it says in the Bible, but the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea that the ship threatened to break up. How many of you have ever had in your life where you planned your vacation? Who needs to do God's work right now? I need a break. I do my own way. And then the storm's coming in. Do you know what I'm talking about? Then the storms come in, and you say, man, the devil is after me. And I say, hold off a second. It might not be the devil who is after you. You might have created a mess in your life and God has called you for a purpose and you are running away from the purpose of God and God says, I'm not giving up on you. I have a way to get you back. Jonah should have said, oops, I know why that storm is coming. I go and talk to the captain, make a U-turn, buddy. I need to go up to Nineveh. Oh, no. When we are in the midst of trouble which we have created by our own power and stupidity, you know what we're doing? We're digging in and we don't let anybody tell us that we are wrong. Yeah, there's one very honest guy back there. Thank you, Harry. But we're digging in, and you know what? We become experts in explaining why we are in the will of God when we know we are not in the will of God. Listen to the next verse. Then the mariners were afraid. Where's Jonah? They were afraid. And they cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. It's a beautiful story. The way the writer is telling us that story, it could not be better than what he did. He nails it. It doesn't take a psychologist or a psychiatrist to figure that one out. When people want to escape the problems which they have created themselves, they go into a stage of depression. And when you are depressed, you want to withdraw, and you want to sleep all day, and you want to talk to nobody, turn off the phone, I'm not being seen, I'm not going to church, and you think you're going to solve your problem. You're like Jonah. The storm in life has not changed an iota. It's still there. You just refuse to acknowledge it, and you go to the most inner little chamber you can find to lock yourselves up and say, it's going to be only Jesus and me, forget the rest. And through that kind of response Jonah did here, he actually jeopardized the life of non-believers, to whom he should have been an example of being a prophet of the living God. Does that sound like something you might have already experienced in your own life? Listen, when you withdraw from the church, when you withdraw from hearing the word of God and you go for entertainment, when you're going to go into a depressive state, when you're very unregularly attending, ask yourselves a question. What's going on in my life? Why is that storm in my life? And then think about this. Your reaction, which you are living right now, is not according to the purpose God has called you for. That's disobedience. And number two, you might have the power to destroy other people's lives around you. You're not living as an island here. What we do influences others. Sometimes what we do as parents influences our children to such a degree that they, when they grow up and married, will influence other children for 2, 3, 4 generations. We have that kind of thinking and mentality, and that's the way they're going to respond to problems in their lives. We have never trained them. Face your problems. Don't run from your problems. With God. Thank you. You know the scripture verses. Try to live it. God will never let you down. He started something in your life. I guarantee you, I can promise it from the word of God, what he started, he will finish. Told my wife this week, we were talking about, as I was thinking about Jonah, I'm trying to figure out in my life how many times my name changed to Jonah. And there are a few situations where I can say I was the perfect copy of Jonah. Then I said to my wife, you know, how many people, next year, by the way, this church celebrates 20 years in existence. Next year, Memorial Day weekend. That's when we opened up 20 years ago. Two hands are not enough. How many times people came in here and wanted to destroy that work? And I could have said, this is the devil's doing. This is the devil's doing. But I think many times, I like Jonah, I wanted to get down in the really down in the belly of the ship, not the fish, the ship, and so sleep out the storm. And when it's all over, I'm going to, okay, I'm here, yeah. Sun is shining, man. It's great, awesome. But God is changing us and changing our characters and our thinking through these very storms. You know, people will forsake you. People will be on fire for the Lord are not on fire anymore. They're saying all of a sudden things they would have never said when they were here. And you know, we can live according to what they say or do, or we can live according to the purpose God has called us. What are we going to do? I tell you what, the second thing is much better. God still has fish around to swallow the prophets. They may be not coming, you know, swimming on the lake. You know, in the Bible, whenever you read sea, the metaphorical power of the sea is what? Chaos. Thank you. That monster comes out of chaos, out of nowhere, swallowing you and me up. So Jonah just said, I just ignore it. Listening to the next verse, I love that verse. So the captain, that's the guy in charge of the ship. He doesn't know God. He knows gods. So he's in the ship, and he's going and talking to the prophet. He's a pagan captain who is talking to the man of God. Should be the other way around. And look what he says. So good to have you. Thank you for paying the fare. Have a nice ride. It's going to be a little rough. You know, it's like the captain, pilot, comes on and said, oh, we're going to encounter a few turbulences, fasten your seatbelt, don't worry about everything, it's fine. We're going down. You know, the captain comes down to Jonah and says, Jonah, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give you a thought to us that we may not perish. Wow. In the original, a thought means maybe your God is willing to listen at least to one thing you say. Maybe to one thing. Because all these mariners, and that's why I gave you the prayer of the Assyrian pagans, all these gods they were praying to. Well, these guys, how many of you know sailors are normally pretty rough people? And they had these sea gods, you know, that they protected them against the winds. They had a god protecting them against the water that they don't drown. They had a god who took care of the ship. They had a god for everything. Almost like American modern spirituality. We have a god for everything, correct? So nothing works. Absolutely nothing works. They're already done their praying. And they go, the more we pray, the tougher the storm gets. Don't you like that? In other words, our gods don't do it. I love that. But there's one guy who forgot to pray. He didn't join for the prayer meeting. Let's go get him. They go down, see Jonah asleep. How the guy could sleep through that storm, only God knows. And he said, I tell you, he didn't say, would you please? You better. You pray to your God. Maybe your God listens at least to one thing you say on our behalf. At least you have to try it. Does the Bible ever say Jonah actually did pray? No, he goes up and he said, the guy does not do anything. We might have the wrong guy. Let's cast lots. You know? So they roll the dice. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Lo and behold, huh? Then they said to him, tell us on what account this evil has come upon us. Now Jonah is cornered. They know that the problem they are in is caused by this man, and his God is in control. And Jonah refuses to talk to God. You need to understand. This is the last thing we want to do. Pray to God what his plan is for our life, and we run from him, don't want to go to church, and don't want to do anything with him. This is not a good start, correct? Especially when a pagan friend looks at us and says, have you ever tried to maybe talk to your God? How dare you talk to me like that? This is exactly what's going on here. This is the picture here. A pagan company of rough sailors is confronting the prophet of God who has lost his destiny, his vision, and his purpose. And look how the questions go. Okay, what is your occupation? What are you doing for a living? And where do you come from? They understood cosmic geography. He's not one of us. So he's serving another God. And what is your country? And of what people are you? What ethnicity are you? He finally speaks, Jonah. He hasn't prayed yet. And he said, I am a Hebrew. In those days, everybody knew the story how God, Yahweh, delivered the Hebrew people out of Egypt. They all knew that. What? What? You are one of those people? Oh, I forgot to tell you everything. I fear the Lord. I fear Yahweh, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Why do you fear him? What's going on in your life? Because the Bible goes on to say, for the man knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then he said to him, what shall we do to you? And they didn't expect this answer. He said, oh, pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you, not for him, for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. This is an incredible insight. This is the only sermon these sailors are going to hear. I know this problem which has created this storm is my fault. That's called repentance. I am the one who's running for my calling. I am the one who refuses the purpose for which God has raised me up. And this is the problem. Yahweh, the one who created the heaven and the earth, is the one who has caused these problems. The sailors know that Jonah spoke the truth and refused to obey him. He just said, throw me into the sea. The next thing you read, these guys get together and say, okay, these guys made it right with this God. The storm's going to be subsiding here in a minute. It's over. Let's all go on deck. All hands on deck. Let's make it back to shore in their own power. Does God allow them to make it to shore? The harder they worked, the more tempestuous the storm becomes. Have you ever seen that in your life? Have you ever seen that? The harder we try, the less we go anywhere. You can't solve this problem in your own strength and then go to your buddies in the bar and try to convince them to help you to get out of it. This is not going to work. There's nobody in the world, including you and me, who can go against God. You're not going to win. I guarantee you that. The world needs to hear that once again. There are many gods people are serving today. None of them is powerful enough to go against God Almighty. None of them. You can run, you can be miserable, you can be successful. But the very success you have in life will eventually destroy you. Believe me. Jonah understands. He tells him, why did they not listen to him? Why? Why would you listen to a guy who was called by God to be a prophet, who disobeys God, and now you all of a sudden become holy and you want to talk? You just destroyed your testimony, Jonah. You're acting totally contrary to what you tell us what Yahweh is all about. You obviously believe a lie. You believe that the God who created the heaven and the earth, you can escape from it. That's what you tell us. And now all of a sudden you speak the truth. Forget it. We're going to have to handle that ourselves. Listen, we have friends like this if our life doesn't match what we say. They're watching us. And when you speak the truth, they don't want to believe. We have an old proverb in Swiss. Wer einmal lügt, dem glaubt man nichts, und wenn auch die Wahrheit spricht. So, did you get it? Peter goes, yes. Let me interpret it for you. This is old wisdom. In Europe, they still had some old wisdom then. If you speak a lie once to your neighbor, and next time you come and you speak the truth, the neighbor is not inclined to believe you, even when you speak the truth, because your character is attached to the lie you spoke. That's what that proverb means. You see how that is important? When we are called for a purpose to bring glory to God, and when we have a destiny, which is much more glorious than trying to get to our lives with lying and cheating, that's not a glorious destiny. Why do we do it? We believe that we can manage the storms of life ourselves. We believe it. I have bad news for you and good news. The bad news is life has shown me over the years, 30 years past, I know you and I cannot solve our own problems. I know that for a fact. How many of you have learned that life lesson? We need somebody outside of us. Somebody who is greater than us. Somebody who understands us better than we do. Somebody who doesn't have to look in the mirror like we should. But he knows what's deep in the recesses of our hearts and how our lives are messed up, and he still loves us. We need that one to help us. And that's God Almighty. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the purpose why we're here. Listen, if you and I would have come into this world like Jonah, being a prophet, there's not a single ounce of bad words ever spoken about Jonah before that incident. How many of you have to say that's a clean slate? If you and I would live in a world like this, we don't need a savior. From what? But can I ask you to raise your hand if that's you? Ever since you're born, you're perfect. You have never done anything wrong, never lied, never stole, never had an evil thought, never gossiped, nothing. I mean, come on. Any takers? Then all of us need a savior. Every one of us. There's no escape. All of us need him. By your own admission, I can tell you that you cannot live your life according to God's purpose for you and me. And yet people still believe the lie that if I go down into the corner and sleep it out, the storms will go. No, they will intensify. Eventually they throw Jonah overboard. Why? They know this time the guy said something, we don't believe it, but we got to try it. Because they wanted to save themselves. So they throw him overboard. What they literally do is they test Jonah's word. Could that be? The minute they throw him overboard, what's happening in that story? The storm is over. Wow, the guy actually spoke the truth this time. And you know what they do? Read it. Read it. Look what they do after this. So they picked up Jonah, hurled him into the sea. The sea ceased from its raging. And then the man feared, not Jonah. Who did they fear? Yahweh. When you read in the Bible, the Lord means Yahweh. That's the God of the Hebrews, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. They made commitments to the Lord. Listen, this is the shortest sermon recorded in the Old Testament where a whole ship of sailors get saved. Jonah never said, repent. Jonah just told them who he is. The God called him, and he ran away from God and was disobedient. And they say, if that God Jonah serves is that serious to get the lake, the Mediterranean, going, so we're going to drown, whew, I think we better be right with that God. How if the American people will get that message? What if the church will get that message? You see, we say, well, but God today is different. You know, he had progressed in his views. He really learned a few things. People don't respond too well, so he has taken a softer approach. And everybody just is going to be happy, and we don't need to come to him and say, I'm done with running my own show, I give my life to Jesus. Or this is too confrontational. So God has kind of finally learned his lesson. You know, he's got to slow down a little bit. Or could it be that God has never changed, and most of the trials and the troubles in our lives are caused because we forgot the purpose why we live for him here? And the ones who really need to change is not God, who is the Alpha and the Omega. He never changes. And so the ones who really need to change is us. Isn't it amazing that God, after all these stupid things we do, still loves us? It's quite amazing, isn't it? So I'm glad Jonah is over, okay? Because the next verse is going to be that Jonah is going to be in trouble because the Lord appointed a great fish. I can't help but to say, Jonah, what in the world is going on with you? When a fish hears God speak, he obeys. What about you? Could it be that the Bible calls us when we are unsaved, we are acting like natural beasts? That fish knows more about God than Jonah. So next time you read chapter 1 of Jonah, you say, I think I'm going to put my name in there instead of Jonah. And see how that looks like. Which brings me to a very important point here. I'm talking a lot about destiny and God's purpose for our lives. How many of you in here are absolutely sure you know God's purpose for your life? Okay. Oh, you guys are very, very careful. How many of you have questioned the purpose which you thought he had and then became insecure and then kind of either pulled back or just go on cruise control in your Christian walk? Yeah, that's 99% of all Christians I know. And this is exactly what God does not want. But it's a battle. Let me give you a scripture first from the New Testament. Open up to Ephesians chapter 2. We know the verses, but let's put that in the context of Jonah's story. Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10. Take those words very personal. God speaks to you very personal here. Paul says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. We all know that. We have done absolutely nothing except responding to God. So by grace to faith. And this is not your own doing. Underline that in your Bible. It is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, okay? It is not the result of works. Underline that twice. Why? So that no one may boast. God cannot stand when we are arrogantly boasting what we're doing for God. And listen to this. You can't connect or disconnect the next one. For we are his workmanship. Who has made us for the purpose, for his glory? Who made us? God. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. But look what that good work looks like. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You and I have no business to tell God what we want to do on his behalf to make him look good. God already prepared the purpose and the work we have to do for him, and our job is to walk obediently in it. Jonah said, I have my own plans. God told him what to do. And you know what? We have our own plans too, don't we? I cannot tell you how often I heard pastors tell me, and I said, what is your ultimate goal in ministry? I want to have the largest church in the county. Every time I have the same reaction. I must be getting kind of, you know, all the blood goes out of my head. And I must be kind of white because they always stare at me. And I said, you just missed the purpose. Size, people come to the Lord. This is not our purpose. Our purpose is to glorify God. Some of you may have been purposed and called by God to just be good parents and camp parents. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with spending time with our own kids and camp kids so they can actually see the love of God at work? What's wrong with that? There are many people running out there, they're losing their kids and camp kids. But boy, they brag how many people they parted alone, how busy they were. God is not interested in you making the plan and then fervently being a religious person and praying that God will bless your plans. God will never bless your plans. God will bless you as you are walking in his plans. That's the way that goes. God has prepared beforehand all the work. So Jonah was called by grace. He didn't do anything that he didn't deserve that title. And God initiated it, and God will finish it. When you came to Jesus and you finally gave up, who initiated that? Oh, God initiated that. Why? He saw that you are start seeking. That you're looking for answers in your life. This is the best place to be, by the way, if you want to find God. When you start seeking because you know you don't have it. When you start getting very insecure, sometimes God has to get you literally flat on your face before you wake up. Sometimes your life, the bottom just has to fall out because we are so arrogant and prideful. Sometimes, listen, God does not care if you lose home and everything else. If that's what it takes to get you to fulfill his purpose, to become a part of his family, God will do it if he has to. And the very thing we work so hard and we fight for it, he maybe takes because he's interested in you to become a part of God's family and spend time with him for eternity. Houses come and houses go. I have to put effort in every year something on my old house. That thing starts falling. You know? Well, if you're more than 60 years old, look at you in the morning. You don't look as healthy anymore like you were at 20. You know? Come on, this thing is not forever. God is forever. Everything in life, it goes down. I would like to tell you otherwise, but that would be a lie. So, for you and me, God called us, initiated the call, and I stand here every Sunday before you knowing that what he started, he will finish. I don't care how many battles are coming. And I tell you that publicly. Have I been depressed? Have I slept a few times down at the bottom of the ship? Absolutely. Oh, yeah. It would be a lie. And if you tell me you have never been in the bottom of the ship, trying to sleep your problems away, you're lying. It's human behavior. And that is when we don't see clearly. And that's not a good place to make vital decisions in life. Wake up first. And if a pagan sailor has to look at you and stick his finger into your face and tell you that you are calling yourselves a Christian, but you certainly don't act like it, take him serious. You say, well, a pagan will never be used by God. You're greatly mistaken. God uses donkeys, he uses all kinds of things. They talk to his people when they don't get it. So, pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Is that what you would tell the people? Pick me up and destroy my life. That's the way that sea is going to get calm. No, we normally have some good answers why we deserve to act the way we do. Correct? God has none of it. So what's behind the story? We're just starting with Jonah, okay? Yes, we will end up at Christmas, and you will find out why this is one of the best stories in the Old Testament that brings us eventually to Bethlehem. You'll find out. Not the way you think, but you will find out. So what's the story behind all this, Jonah? It is easier to run away than to face God's command. Much easier. What I love about that story, despite a wayward prophet, God had planned to save every sailor on that ship. Think about it. Not just Nineveh, but every sailor on that ship got saved. Not just physically, but they also recognize who the true God is. There's a story in the New Testament that's very similar, except the prophet acted a little bit differently. Let's wrap it up with this. You can find him in the book of Acts. You all know the story. The apostle Paul was standing before King Agrippa, Bernice, preaching the gospel. They kind of were, not yet quite there. Felix was there too, and they heard the gospel, but they were not really jumping in with both feet. Paul eventually, because he appealed to Caesar before them, he had to go to Caesar, and he sits in Rome, and Paul was on a journey on a ship. He tells him, Paul is not running away from God at that time, and he tells them that this journey is going to end up in disaster. Did they believe him? What happened? It did end up in disaster. Paul, after 14 days not eating or drinking, well, drinking they probably did, but not eating, eventually gets a visitation from an angel from the Lord. By the way, that still can happen. It's not your flashlight in the bedroom, but an angel can show up anytime. As a matter of fact, they can show up to you as a human being and you never recognize it was an angel. No wings, by the way. So here's what Paul says. Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, "Man, you should have listened to me." Isn't that a great sermon? "You should have listened to me, you wretched, miserable creatures. And you should have never sailed to Crete and incurred this injury and loss. Yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night," this is why he could speak. He said, "This is not my idea. I didn't have a dream." He said, "This very night on this ship, there stood before me an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I worship." Wow. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrew, like Jonah. I'm a Hebrew. And I'm not running from God, but that God is with me. And he sent an angel, and this is what he said to me. "Paul, do not be afraid. You must stand before Caesar. Paul, no matter what's going to happen on this journey, you're going to make it to the final destination God has planned for you." Isn't that incredibly positive? Paul, don't worry about it. You may swim, but you'll make it there. And behold, God has granted you all those who will sail with you. What? Paul, everyone, 200 plus people on that ship, I am going to make sure that they are going to hear from you and they are going to be granted to you, Paul. They're going to get all saved because you're on the ship. That's why. So take heart, man, for I have faith, not in you, in God, that it will be exact as I've been told. But we must run aground on some island. On top of it, after they tried to do something different than what Paul told them to do, they almost lost the ship because some of them wanted to escape beforehand. And Paul said, if anyone escapes beforehand, you're all going to die. Why? This is how Paul believed in a God who speaks to him. He said, all these people will make it. And Paul said, if anyone jumps out and one of them is not going to make it, God's word cannot be fulfilled. It must be fulfilled. He speaks up. Every one of them gets saved. They end up in the island of Malta. Do we have a little plan there? A little. There it is. Yeah, this is where he is at. You can see him there. He's going from to Cyprus, Myra. Okay. So that's where you see Malta there, where Paul's about the danger. See how much they travel north, south of Sicily? See there? All the way on the left, the map. And there, the governor and the people get saved on the journey. How many of you would have to say, when God has you on this journey and you obediently do what he wants you to do, you influence everyone around you to serve the same God? Why then did God decide when Jonah did not do God's will, he's still going to save the sailors? Do you have an answer for that? That's the trivia question for the day. Jonah was not a faithful one. How come that God saved him anyway? How many of you have ever been used by God to share the gospel when you were not in good standing with God? You knew you did some crazy things. You were not in the will of God. You were not on fire for God. And then God puts you in a position, and the last thing you want to know, for anyone to know around you, that you're actually a follower of Jesus. That's the last thing, because the way you act is totally pagan. And then, for whatever reason, God decides to save the people talking to anyway. You know what that is? That's a slap from God to wake us up. He said, I don't need you to save people for me. I save the people. You have a privilege to come and work alongside me and be used by me so you can enjoy it. But since you're running from me, I will show you that I can save people without you. It brings us back to reality. I've seen people getting saved in services where I thought I did not even touch the ceiling because I felt like it was not connected to the Holy Spirit the way I wanted to. And then afterwards, I get an email, a phone call, and say, Pastor, I want you to know, I gave my life to Jesus because of the sermon you preached on Sunday. And I go, what? I don't say it out loud. No, I have a very good religious attitude. Praise God, it's awesome. I knew it was a good sermon. How stupid, you know? How many of you know God can save people and put us to shame in the process? So take the privilege God has given you and me. Don't turn from him. If you put your back on God and his people, get back to God with both feet in it. If you don't know Jesus, listen, there's a very simple way to do that. Nothing complicated. I don't know how you grew up. I don't know how people told you things. Listen, don't make it complicated, okay? You don't need to have a whole list of all your sins. God already knows them very well. He remembers things which you can't remember you've done. He doesn't care. He wants to clean you, cleanse you, and take you into his family. And it's simply done. Turn your focus away from all the things you served in your life. And say, Lord, I'm done with my own life. I need you. I'm going to dedicate my life to you. I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life. I know I can't do it, but you can do it through me. He will do it. Look, the sailor said to John, just speak something. Just one little thing. God maybe hears just one little thing. It's sufficient for us. Not complicated. If that's you, don't leave today without saying, Lord, please help me. I need to become a true born-again child of the living God. Born again simply means born from the Spirit, not from religious activities. That's what that means. God's work. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. You're an awesome and mighty God. You control everything. You have everything in your hands. Yet you gave us free will to make choices. And still, you are the Alpha and the Omega. There's not a person sitting in here this morning or hears that through the airwaves who does not know that what you finish, and what you start, you finish. You know the end from the beginning. Lord, we thank you that you're such an awesome, forgiving, caring, and graceful God. Let us not be Jonas anymore. Let us be just people who know how much you love and care and embrace that truth and fall in love with you over and over again. Lord, as we come to the holiday seasons, there's so many stressful days ahead of families who may have tensions between one another. Husband and wife may have tensions. May your life, which you have given for us, brings new life into those families. May their eyes being opened, may they can walk in that truth and can experience the peace and the joy only you can give. And for it, we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people can say, Amen. Amen.